This is the beginning of part one, where Sandy shares her involvement in the Pilgrim's House Church.
Came about what happened and how it happened in the first place. So I used to go to Dianella Church of Christ. That was where Dayspring was at the time. And it was fine. I liked it there. I liked the people there. It was really good. Gradually, I stopped listening to sermons. And then I was finding that the theology in the songs was contrary to my theology, and I struggled with singing them. So I'd stand there mute while everybody else sang all these songs about blood and the lamb and redemption, and I'm going, oh, I think that's my God. I really don't think that's my God. But I kept going because I believe in fellowship and supporting the church and so on. And then one day when I was praying, I believe, I don't hear voices, but I believe that God was saying to me, stop going to church. Now, I've been going to church since I was a baby, and I found my own church when I was 11 and swapped. Didn't go to the one Mum sent me to anymore, went to my own Baptist church. I was baptized at 13, and church became family for me. It was so important to me. So the idea of saying, don't go to church, was incredible. It was just like, how can I do that? How can I not be in church? But I decided to be faithful, and I have to admit it was a relief to stay home and not to have to try to sing and to find something else to do during the sermon. So I stayed home. Sometimes I did things with family or friends on a Sunday morning. And then I had a phone call from a friend of mine who said, Sandy, I hear you're not going to church anymore. And I went, oh, no, here we go. And he said, well, you may not know that I haven't been going either. And that friend was not going because they had a mental health problem, and sitting in a large group of people was very difficult. But I said, oh, really? I'm not alone. It's not just me that's not going to church. And we carried on the conversation for a while, and then he said, have you ever thought of going to a house church? And something inside me went, yes, 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 that's what I want, although I'd never thought of it before. And so I said, yes, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. So we gathered together a few friends and said, do you want to go to a house church? Most of them were already going to church and still going to church. And that was okay. And they said, yeah, yeah, we'll come along maybe every other week or something like that. So gradually it evolved and it evolved and it evolved. And now it's in a book. So we've been going for, I can't even remember. I meant to ring my friend who knows all these things. It must be about 13 years, I think. And we didn't know what to do at first, but we had some very definite ideas. We would love to do music, but none of us are musicians. However, every week we do sing the Our Father using the music that we learnt from Eunorcia when we were there one time. And so that's a nice bit of music that we have every week. And there are some bits of our prayers that we sing as well. But if we're going to have music, we have to remember to bring a DVD or a CD or something and play it while we're meeting. But we don't tend to do that very often just because we're disorganized. What we do every week, and we meet on a Friday night, so we are free to come to church on a Sunday, which is really good. We eat together because most of us are single and it's a great opportunity to eat with friends and to have a time of fellowship together. So I'm getting some nods here. So eating is very important to us. We share the who does what and the meal time. And one of the things we decided very early on was no preparation. We didn't want anyone to have to spend hours preparing for church every week. And secondly, no sermons. Now, I have to admit, I initiated that. I'd been to theological college. I've preached heaps of sermons. And I was starting to struggle every time I stood up here, because what have I got to say to you? How can I speak into your life? You have experiences that I've never had, and you could be up here doing it to me. And so that was my idea. I gradually converted everybody else. So we didn't have recorded sermons, which was one of the ideas we could have had. Instead, we practice what is known as Lectio Divina. So when we read the Bible, like I come from a background of theological college and Bible studies and KYB and all that jazz, and we had Bible studies. So you had to know the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever it came from, and what did it mean to the disciples, and do a lot of thinking. Very, very cerebral. And that wasn't really where we were going. We all came from Day Spring, so we have a contemplative background. So what we're wanting to do is kind of absorb the word, to be with God. And so we do Lectio. But let me go through, I'll tell you about that more later. That's the second half. So I'll go through what we do in our service. And then that will, and if you want to, you can have a look at our book. It's in the back. The front of it is Day Springs, Daily Prayers, and the back of it tells you about Pilgrims and what we do. And those are for sale if anybody wants one. So we have our readings from the lectionary. Again, nobody has to prepare. You just look it up. Why do we use those? Well, we do kind of like the church year, and we like to also look at, oh, gosh, it's such and such a saint's day today or whatever. And so we quite enjoy that. But basically it's because we don't have to look it up. Nobody has to think about what are we going to do. But if we don't like the readings, we change them. Confess. And we also have, we start off every time with a group examine. So I don't know if you know the examine, but that's where we reflect on our week. So it's a sharing time where we talk about what am I most grateful for this week, what am I least grateful for this week, or what's been a challenge this week, and where is God calling me, and for what do I need to ask. And that is a time where we hold the silence. No one is allowed to say anything at all, ask questions, interrupt, say, oh, that happened to me. We hold the story. And at the end, we say, Sandy, we hear you. And there's something about that being heard, which is incredibly powerful. So we have some other rules. You're not allowed to bring it up if that person doesn't want to talk about it afterwards. They can bring it up, but you can't say, when you said da-da-da-da-da, I was thinking. All rules around that. So then we have the Eucharist. So most of us come from a Church of Christ background, so every week is Eucharist. And we used to share a cup, COVID. We all have our little cups, and we've kept to the little cups, and we're not going back, apparently. I quite like it, but still, you've got to do these things. And we have an offering. So we don't have a minister. We don't have a building. We don't have any expenses. So it means our offering can go to where it's needed. So every month we have a time where we decide where our offering is going to go, and we pray for whoever that goes to. And that's on the first week of the month. And we also have other offerings. We have a real contemplative in our midst, and she comes up with some wonderful stuff, but it's very challenging. So sometimes I'd rather give them money, but this is one of them. So where we have made or wish to make a choice that leads to life, I'm now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. So then we think of what choice. That's actually an easy one. Some of the others are much more difficult. But they're great because they get us thinking about things. And then we follow with two alternative things. So one week we have Lectio Divina, which I will be talking about later on. which is divine reading. So we're not reading the text to understand what the Greek meant or what anybody else meant. We're listening for one word or one phrase where God speaks into my life today. And it might have nothing whatsoever to do with the apparent context of the text. But God is using that word to speak into my life, to tell me what God wants me to do or not do, as the case may be. The alternate week, we have what's known as colloquio divina, and that is a term. It's Latin, but it's part of, it's about divine sharing, and it comes from Ignatius of Loyola. It's part of the retreats that Ignatius writes, and it's about divine discussion about the text that you've just read. Sometimes we do a clearness committee, the Quaker practice. I don't know if ever you've heard of that one. Somebody has. So that's when somebody has a decision to make, like one of us was offered a new job and had to make huge decisions about whether to take the job because it had big ramifications for family. And so we're able to sit and listen and ask non-leading questions, which is very difficult, and help them to understand what it is they're making a decision about. We have a different liturgy for each week of the month, and on the fifth week, and we always argue about whether it's the fifth Sunday or the fifth Friday, and sometimes we pinch both, and we have celebration night. So we might go to the movies, or we might watch a DVD together, or go to out to dinner sometimes. But that's a celebration time, and we have a fun activity. One of the things I've pushed for is gender-inclusive language. And if you have a look at the Dayspring thing, you won't find God referred to as he. A lot of my work in the past has been with people who were abused, often in the church and usually by men, and they find God as a male very difficult to relate to. That's where I started. Now I've got to the stage where God is not a man. God is God and is beyond male and female. So the texts from Scripture that are included are taken from whichever Bible doesn't have he for God in it. And when we read Psalms, we substitute God for he. And I noticed in the song I was singing, I couldn't do the he, but God fitted in very well, so I did that. So, that's about it.
In part two that follows, Sandy introduces us to the Lecto Divina practice of scriptural reading, meditation, and prayer.
In the process of doing this sort of exercise and asking God to speak to us, sometimes it helps to write down what we've got. Some people even go so far as to write a psalm or a prayer at the end of it. If you've got paper and pencil that you usually use, that's fine. If you wanted to, you can come and help yourself to a pen and paper now, and then later on you can write it down. And if you don't want to and you just want to sit there and soak it up, that's fine too. So we're going to get an overhead when you're ready, yeah? So Lectio Divina goes back to the early centuries of the Christian church. It was an established monastic practice by Benedict in the 6th century. It's a way of praying scripture that leads us deeper into God's word. So Benedict, which this is an interesting fact that I didn't know until recently, included Lectio Divina in the chapter in his little book on daily manual labor. So that's how he considered Lectio Divina to be. It was a daily practice that you incorporated into your work. So there are four phases of it. So I obviously made it too big. Yeah, perfect. So that it just stays there, and then I'll just leave that up there and you can come back to it. But there are four stages of it. So the first one is the reading, or in Latin, lectio. And you read slowly until a word or a phrase speaks to you, jumps out at you, touches your heart. And today I'm going to be reading the passage three times. And when your word or your phrase speaks to you or jumps out at you, I'm going to suggest that you stop listening. Very rude. Ignore me totally and let all the words that I'm reading go over your head, which will be quite easy because it will be, yeah. Just let the words go and repeat your word. So that's the next one, the ruminate or repeat, or meditatio. So you repeat it over and over again. So if your word is spring or whatever, you repeat spring, 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 and you allow that word to sink into the core of your being. And then when you've done that sufficiently, whatever that means, you can then move into the praying or the oratio, where you pray your prayful response. So you talk to God about it. So where in my life does that word spring need to be heard? What are you saying to me, God? What do I need to hear? And so you're either listening, talking to God backwards and forwards in a conversation, or it can be a profound silence. And then when you're ready, you can let go of all the words and move into a silent phase. So if you are going to write anything, that would be during three. So the first one, the reading, you just listen. And I'm going to ask most of you to just put things down, except Julie. I've given her a copy of it so she can hear, because sometimes when we're doing things, she can't hear it. But the rest of us, just put down everything and just allow God's word to speak to you. When you get to the repeating, you still don't need a piece of paper because you just got your one word or your phrase that you're going to repeat over and over again. So remember, I'm reading it three times if you miss it the first time. And sometimes people will get one word and then the second reading, another phrase or word will pop up. Go with whichever you like, but don't try and hold too many of them. Just one word or one phrase that's really significant for you. So hopefully, enjoy. This is a gift for you from me. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes. If you prefer to keep your eyes open, focus on something that will help you to meditate, like the candle, the flowers, the cross. Don't look at what's on the screen. Turn that out for the moment. What you're focusing on is listening. And the reading today is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 5. The Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you, because you are precious to me. You are precious to me. And because I love you and give you honor, do not be afraid. I am with you. the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. Because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor, do not be afraid. I am with you. This is the last reading, and when I finish, you can move on into the other three phases if you're not already in the second one. The Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not hurt you, will not destroy you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. Because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor, do not be afraid. I am with you.
Please pause the playback, then resume when you are ready after approximately 5 minutes.
If we had enough time allocated, I would encourage you to break up into small groups and share what you heard from God. But maybe some of you might like to just call out the word or the phrase that struck you without explaining it. That's what word came for you. Do not be afraid. Precious, precious.
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. You might like to take it with you as you go and think about it during the week, maybe. Share it with somebody else that you trust. And I wish you every blessing. And maybe you'll be able to practice it more in the time ahead. I don't do it every day. And just as I finish, I know you'll have that for yourself, but I would like to bless you as I go with our blessing that we often use both at Dayspring and Pilgrims. Go in peace, the Lord is with you. Go in peace, the Lord is within you. Go in peace, for wherever you go, the Lord is already there to greet you. Go in peace. The Lord is with you. Amen.